I'm Mark.
And I'm Teresa. Come hang out with us today.
On my fix-up life.
Rebuilding Together believes that everyone deserves to live in a safe and healthy home. For nearly 25 years, Rebuilding Together has provided critical home repairs for low-income homeowners in need. With support from volunteers and skilled professionals, Rebuilding Together affiliates complete 10,000 rebuild projects every year, working to revitalize and stabilize vulnerable neighborhoods and communities across the country. Join Rebuilding Together and rebuild in your community. Find out how you can make a difference and get involved at rebuildingtogether.org.
You know, Mark?
Yes, Teresa.
I hear the drums of the pub song coming on. You getting ready?
I'm feeling it, man.
Yeah.
Bring some power.
Getting ready to talk about some tools?
Tool up, suit up, and boot up. We are talking with Conklin Carpenter, Ace Remodeling Contractor,
yes,
and Craftsman.
Yes.
Rob Robillard, ConcordCarpenter.com.
Yes. That's a lot of Concord. That's more Concord than I have in my refrigerator.
That's right. And we have to initially congratulate you from being from the greatest state in these United States.
Oh, Lord.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are
Good.
You doing?
I was wondering if I could borrow a clamp.
A clamp? Let me get
Do
one.
Do you have any?
I have several.
Rob has about 9,000 bar clamps behind him. In the tricked out workshop that we, who's not watching right now, who could see Rob, wish we could see.
Yes, yes,
Mark,
yes.
What is the old saying about clamps?
Can't have too many.
That's right. I have some over there, too.
You have clamps over there, too?
I do. I have them on every wall of my shop.
You know, I'm hearing that wallpaper is really in right now, but I guess clamps are another way that you can decorate your walls.
It depends on where you are, I suppose.
I guess it does depend on who you are.
One would have to suppose that, because in this galaxy, it really doesn't exist.
Well, I guess if you have that many clamps, then your projects probably turn out pretty well then.
Maybe, sometimes, most of the time.
Okay.
But that sort of leads us into what we're talking about today with Rob Robillard, a Concord Carpenter. And what are your tools telling you? So another way of saying that is, how does a pro make it look so easy?
Mm-hmm.
You just plow through the board with a miter saw or jigsaw, and it just seems simple.
Well,
but DIYers, on the other hand, fighting it the whole way.
Well, I have to say, too, you know, you're thinking about it, and, like, Mark cringes whenever he hears someone using any tool that, like, the blade isn't sharp, or they haven't, like, restrung their...
The string trimmer?
Yes, the string trimmer, or anything like that. And you could be like our daughter Lexi, who, when she was little, she used to just throw away her pencils when they got dull and get a new one. And she didn't understand sharpening them. But, like, not taking care of your tools, I would say, I'm guessing, is probably on the list of things to do. Right, Rob?
No, you're absolutely right.
Okay.
So, you know, if you have a basic list of tools or a basic set of tools, everybody buys their tools. A lot of DIYers buy things right off the shelf, and they deploy them in whatever project they're going to do. Guys like Mark and I, when we buy something, we bring it in the shop, and we sharpen it, we tune it, we make sure it's true, and we really do take care of the tool. And with that comes the accessories. The blade is not supposed to last 10 years. It's supposed to last until it gets dull and you replace or sharpen it. And a lot of folks don't realize that.
I have a question about that, because I am, what is it called? I am...
Spoiled.
Spoiled with tools.
Definitely smart, intelligent, beautiful.
All those things too, but I know what she's working towards.
I am totally spoiled when it comes to tools, because I don't do anything to take care of our tools. I just show up and everything is, it's the best tool of whatever it is, because Mark wouldn't have it if it wasn't the best. And it's, everything is working properly. Everything is, it's just, I'm spoiled. So I don't even know, like, does it say anywhere, like when you buy a tool, it says blade must be changed every, like they do for running shoes, every 500 miles, you should get a new pair of running shoes.
They say that.
And ballistic vests, right? Every 5 years, get a new ballistic vest while you're at it.
Well, of course.
I haven't shopped for one in years.
Yeah.
Teresa, it's a blessing and a curse to be Mark and me. We do like the best tools. We do treat them like babies. I'll give you a funny story. You know, I just thought of this. A friend of mine called me about a year ago, and he said, "Hey, I know you're into tools. I've got a brand new porta-cable circular saw. It doesn't work right. You want to take a look at it? You can have it. I'm going to throw it away." So I'm like, "Yeah, sure, I'll take a look at it." So I stopped by his house one day for a cup of coffee, and I pick up the saw, and something just didn't look right. It didn't click at first. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, "Geez, it's brand new. What's wrong with it?" He goes, "It just doesn't cut." And then I look closer at the blade. He had the blade on backwards. The teeth were facing the wrong way. So every time he made a cut, he just created a bunch of smoke.
Burning through. The blade must have been charred.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask another really dumb question, but does it tell you, like in the instructions, like which way you're supposed to put the blade?
Teresa, men don't read instructions. So I believe it. I think it does, but I've never confirmed this. I don't know.
Is it just instinctual? Is it like how men have more iron in their nose because you have more nose hairs so that you have a better sense of direction?
I had no idea where you were going with that, but I'm glad you said nose hairs. I don't know the answer to that question.
It's instinctual.
No one does.
It's instinctual.
No,
men just know which way the blade goes.
Well, obviously not. And it says it on the blade.
It does.
Typically.
Oh, when you open that blade pack.
There's an arrow, but you have to know which way the blade, like you got to be thinking about it.
Okay.
It's not automatic. And these are the little things that, and I've seen these on pro job sites too. This isn't like the, okay, DIYers, we know more than you session. I've seen pros, for example, a plumber I had once, he's trying, of course, plumbers, by the way, no matter how big the piece of wood is they're putting in, use drywall screws. So the guy's putting in like a 2x6 with drywall screws, and who hasn't heard this? Who's got a cordless drill? Thudda, 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 because the bit is camming out of the screw. This guy does this every day of his life. I take one look at it. It's shinier than the torch on the Statue of Liberty. Okay? They wear out before they break. And people don't know that.
We're going to have to show a picture of that, too.
The Statue of Liberty?
No, of what it looks like when it's all, like,
all shined up.
Yeah. Because not everybody knows what that looks like.
I threw one away just the other day. I'm wondering where I put it. But I probably go through bits every week. Mark, right? I mean, they don't last as long as people think. It's the same with hand saws, chisels, blades, impact driver bits. They wear out, but people continue to use them. And then they complain about the results they get with the tool, or they really beat on the tool to get it to work because, you know, it's not effective.
Okay. So accessories are always important.
Oh, well, absolutely.
We know that, Teresa, right? Accessories are important.
You know, I do know that.
I don't know when I'm in the conversation and when I'm not.
It's a fundamental rule of fashion and of carpentry. That you have to take care of your accessories because you can have some nice basics like, you know, a circular saw or something, but if you don't have the right accessories and take care of them, what are you going to do with that?
I'm a blade snob, by the way.
You are?
Total blade snob. I shouldn't be, but I love awesome blades. Love them.
So what kind of blades do you like, Rob?
So I can appreciate Mark's love for blades, but I'm a throwaway blade guy. So I buy blades and just throw them away at the end of the job and buy a new blade because I don't have time to wait for the sharpening process. Where I do use really nice blades is my miter saw and my table saw. That's it. Circular saw, throwaway blades. The Irwins, the Marathon blade.
Yeah.
$10.
Because you're ripping through all kinds of material all day long, maybe nicking nails, that kind of stuff.
I'm not worrying about that blade. It's one of those accessories, like a disposable accessory. It's just I plan on that going in the dumpster at the end of the job.
Okay.
So this is a vague question, so it might take you a second to get to this, or you might have it right at the top of your head. What are you a snob about? What are you a tool snob about?
Chisels and my hand plane. I want my chisels and my hand plane to be able to shave off the hair on the back of my arm. So sharp. And I don't like to let anybody use those. So, you know, like I'll put them back in my tool bag when I'm using them because if I leave them on the table, someone might grab it to pry something with it. It's like, I forget where I was. It was a painter one day. I was working. We were all
Oh, God. You can't tell this story. I'm going to have a nervous breakdown.
There were multiple contractors on this job site. We were climbing all over each other. And frankly, the painters shouldn't have been there. They were too early. I was chiseling something. I think it was a door hinge or something. I put my chisel down and went to my truck to get a bottle of water. I came back and painter was opening a primer can with my chisel. I almost lost it. I was going to launch my hammer like a tomahawk at him from across the yard. I'm yelling at him, no, you know, slow motion. No.
I can't even believe that somebody would think to do that.
But it was just a pry tool to him. He didn't have appreciation. He didn't spend 3 hours sharpening that either. I mean, people don't understand what goes into this, you know?
Wow.
Well, that's a good segue.
That's a really good point, actually.
And somewhat self-serving because, yeah, chisels, screwdrivers, those items are not meant to open a paint can. What is meant to open a paint can and what I'm a snob about, I guess, is in my tool pouch, has been for years, a painter's multi-tool, five-in-one.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You do all that stuff with the multi-tool, which you can hammer, pound, smash, doesn't matter.
And throw it away.
Sharpen if you need to.
Yeah.
Get a good one that won't break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's an essential tool that everybody should have in their, you know, you have your little junk drawer of little bits and pieces that you have. That's something that should always be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think anyway.
Now, let's take it outside the world of carpentry, because at aconqueredcarpenter.com,
yes.
I saw on Facebook, I believe, that you are looking at some pressure washers right now.
Mm.
Yes.
A pressure washer. And that is a project that goes wrong in a heartbeat if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And you had taken a fence. It was like a before and after. And this fence was like brown and black on one side and brand new wood on the other side. Tips and tricks to make it so that you don't blow a hole in your fence with the pressure washer.
So I'm not pretending to be an expert on pressure washers. However, I've used them a lot. Probably the best tip I would give is you've got to keep the distance between the spray nozzle and the workpiece. You've got to keep a good distance from that. And you've got to do a test piece. And then next to that would be, you got to select your nozzle properly. So you know how they have a really, really tight stream and then they have a wider breadth of spray? You've got to figure out what material you're working with and you've got to pick the nozzle properly. Sometimes it's not that easy. I always start with the least damaging nozzle and work my way to the hardest nozzle to try to just get the job done. And somewhere in the middle, you find the one that works. But other than that, you'll rip through the wood. You'll rip siding off the house. You'll damage paint. You'll do all kinds of stuff.
Well, I have to ask, like, because pressure washers are in the same category as sledgehammers. People get so excited to use them and then just...
Then they destroy their deck or their fence or like you mentioned...
Whatever it is, if you get those two tools in the hands of the wrong person, you could have a real disaster.
I blame the sledgehammer one on all the HDTV shows where they have to show someone break something with a sledgehammer. It's like, that's not how we do it. So they're breaking stuff, Mark. They're breaking cabinets. It drives me crazy.
Now, do you ever use a sledgehammer?
Yeah. Where does a Concord carpenter use a sledgehammer on? And what does that tell him when his tools are talking to him?
So brute force and ignorance. That's where a sledgehammer comes in. Brute force and ignorance. When you need to move something that just will not move and we're not strong enough to do it by hand or with our hammer. For instance, you know, posts, big posts or headers, maybe tapping them in place. When's the last time I used a sledgehammer? I was tapping in a lolly column trying to plumb it, and I was using it to just tap with it.
Yeah.
Things like that where I wanted more weight, I wanted a little bit more muscle and more leverage. But, you know, it's very rarely that I am just hauling off and slamming a sledgehammer. You know, my plumber breaks up the cast iron tubs like that, but – you know, sledgehammers, it's funny, the television, you know, we don't use sledgehammers like that. We could, I suppose, but we don't.
You could.
Do you think that comedian, is it Gallagher?
Yeah, Gallagher.
That used to break all the fruit?
The mallet?
Do you think that sort of started it? Because I don't remember when I was a little girl, anyone being fascinated with sledgehammers. But, you know, with HGTV and all of the shows that you know,
Robert Irvine on Food Network
Yeah.
has a sledgehammer. on Restaurant Impossible.
What does he use it for?
On like the go to commercial, you know, whatever that thing is. The bumper, I guess.
Oh.
It's all for hype and for getting people, you know, drama or whatever. I don't know.
I don't know either. I have broken up a tub with a cast iron tub with a sledgehammer inside the house.
Yep,
bad idea. You got to do a lot of stuff to protect the ceiling downstairs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like when you take out a sledgehammer, every action has a double action reaction to that thing.
Yeah. Equal and opposite reaction. Absolutely.
There should be instructions on it. Like ladders have all that instructions. Like sledgehammer should come with lots of...
Yeah.
Didn't we just cover this? We don't read instructions.
That's true.
We don't follow instructions.
Yeah, that is true.
It's true, and that gets me on to the string trimmer, which...
And we have just about a minute left.
In the minute or so we have left, that they're basically impossible to load, even if you read the instructions. I don't know what it is, but they exist in a geosynchronous orbit where you have to wrap the string around but keep it separated and at the same time and then put it in the clicker things. And I'm just saying that I don't believe a string trimmer has ever been wound correctly since humanity started.
I don't use a lot of string trimmers except on my house, but I bought one that takes straight pieces. So I bought a huge reel of string and I cut it into 8-10 inch pieces and you just thread them through. It's a one way, like a zip tie.
Yeah.
And I put them in, and then as they wear out, you pull them through the other end and you put new ones in. So what I do is I cut 10 or 12 10 inch pieces, stick them in my pocket and do my yard. It's probably an incredible waste, but it's the only way I could avoid that frustration, because I would end up hitting it with my hammer. There's no doubt about it. No, Teresa, I've hit many things with my hammer. Might as well confess here.
Wait, before we go, I want to know, what kind of hammer do you like? What's your hammer?
Stiletto. Hammer snob, Mark, right?
Hammer snob.
Yes.
Sharp move.
Yeah.
Sharp move. Titanium hammers.
Very nice.
I have several hammers, but this one is one of my favorites. This is a finish hammer, 10 ounce. And I also have a wood one. I use the wood one on the job site mostly. This is my workshop one.
Well, of course. You got to have a workshop hammer.
It's beautiful.
How would you accessorize this?
Well, I think you're doing a lovely job with your red shirt. It really makes the wood pop.
So get smashed in the face by Rob Robillard at ConcordCarpenter.com.
Check
out his great post on Facebook.
I'm getting harassed
and
right now.
And watch this interview and Rob on YouTube.
Enjoy it.
Do your DIY right. Do it safe. See you later.
Bye, guys.
Hey, I'm Mark.
And I'm Teresa.